Good morning from Bally Baptist Church and from our little thought for the day. These Friday mornings we have been continuing to look at verses from the scriptures that help us and encourage us in the whole area and vital area of prayer. And this morning we want to look at another lovely verse. And it's the last verse in Hebrews chapter 4. A verse that's very often quoted at prayer meetings. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Those first two words, let us, there are four let us exhortations in this chapter of Hebrews. If you look at verse 1, it says, let us therefore fear. And in verse 11, let us labour to enter into that rest. And verse 14, at the end, towards the end of the verse 14, let us hold fast our profession. And then our verse here, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We briefly remind ourselves just what this epistle of Hebrews is all about. Most of our Bibles, you'll have the heading in most of your Bibles, the epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Hebrews. I do think that Paul probably was the writer, but he doesn't put his name at the start of the book like the other writings of Paul in the New Testament. The 13 writings of Paul in the New Testament, every one of them starts off with Paul, either Paul, a servant of God, or Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. But Hebrews starts off with the word God, and that's just lovely. And the message here is too important to put any other name on it. Paul wanted, if he's the writer, he wanted to get into the truth of Hebrews right away. And you know those opening verses of Hebrews, God who at different times and in various ways spake in time past, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And the message of Hebrews is so important to attach any other name to it. And of course, the whole message of Hebrews, the whole instruction of Hebrews is the supremacy of Christ, the supremacy of Christ, and the preeminence of Christ in all things. And that's the great theme and message of the book of Hebrews. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the old types and shadows. And it is still the same message for us friends today. And that just sets the scene for the whole book of Hebrews. It's just so important for these Jewish believers. They were still worshipping at the Jewish temple, and it was very difficult for them to get away from the old system of things. And Christ is the end of it all, and they needed to get away from all the old ways of the past. Hebrews is a very serious letter, a very serious letter for them, and a very serious letter for us. And it is the enlightenment of those believers who had come out of Judaism, and to make sure that their conversion to Christianity was genuine and not just a change of religion. And the early teaching of and the early chapters of Hebrews, Christ is better than the prophets, and Christ is better than the angels, Christ is better than Moses, Christ is better than Joshua. And the whole teaching of Hebrews is drawing them away to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's last word to them and God's last word to us in this old sinful world is his Son, Jesus Christ. So before we look just at this last verse of Hebrews chapter 4, just let us mention these other let us down through the chapter just very briefly. Verse 1, let us therefore fear. And we're taught in Scripture to fear not. Right throughout Scripture, we're taught to fear not. But this is a godly fear, a holy quality, but the risk of offending God in disobedience and unbelief. And if you read the verses following from verse 1, they explain that exhortation in the first verse. They explain all that. Let us therefore fear, lest, whereas this, in verse 2 it says, did not profit them, not been mixed with faith to them that heard it. And this is a fear of offending God and disobedience and unbelief. This faith, it didn't profit them. And down in verse 11, let us labour to enter into the rest. And I think that labour there is labour to obey, labour to go through with God in obedience, to obey the voice of God and the word of God. And these believing Jews wanted to hang on to the old paths. And of course, chapter 2 of Hebrews tells us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And friends, we will never escape the pitfalls of life and the pull of the old nature and the temptation of Satan if we neglect the things of God. And many's a time we can ask ourselves, have we any right to call ourselves Christians if we're not living to obey God? And does our behaviour match our words? And that's something that's always a challenge to us. And we will never escape the pitfalls of this old life if we neglect the things of God. Down in verse 14 is the third exhortation, let us hold fast our profession. And the man in the glory, our great high priest, and that's the high priestly office. These people thought they had lost that. And the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ, his heavenly ministry. And in chapter 3, it says, chapter 3, verse 1 says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And he is our great high priest, great in person and great in perfection, and Christ's priestly office on behalf of the church, ever representing us before God in heaven. Our blessed Lord was anointed to fulfill three offices, prophet, priest, and king. And we could say in a sense that he was prophet on earth and he's priest in heaven. And he's coming king. One that was touched with the feeling of our infirmities in verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In the days of his flesh, he was tempted in every possible way, yet without sin. And he could say that the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. And friends, we can be tempted from without, and we have a traitor that's within who is ever and always ready to open the door to the enemy. And in the light of all that, teaching in that lovely chapter of Hebrews chapter 4, which we have just sort of quickly skimmed over, we come to this lovely verse at the end of chapter 4. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let us there come boldly. And what a lovely invitation to the place of prayer. These Jews thought they had lost out under pressure, that they had no longer a high priest. Verse 14, it tells us that they still had a high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And our friends, we don't need to lose out either or fall into the same thing like the people of old. And we at first would think that word boldly is a very sharp or a very harsh word to use in relation to our approach to God. Let us come boldly. But I think it means that we, as God's dear people, can come freely, come with a free utterance. And Christ gives us that freedom as blood-bought children. And it means that we can come, we can go to God's throne as before a throne of not only grace, but a throne of mercy, because of the mediation of our great high priest at God's right hand. A supply of grace and mercy in store is available for every time of need. And that's just tremendous this morning. God's throne has become a throne of not only grace, but a throne of mercy, because of the mediation of our great high priest at God's right hand. And dear friends, this morning it is our duty to be often found at the throne of grace. And I'm speaking to myself this morning very much about that. We're not forced to a throne of justice, but often found at the mercy seat, where grace and mercy reigns. Our great high priest is waiting there for us. And what grounds of confidence that is. And what is our situation this morning, friends? we can have testing times and lonely times and wilderness times and hard times and difficult times. But, friends, let us not grow weary, because we have a great high priest ever there interceding for us. We have a great high priest. We have a great throne of grace, and we have a great throne of mercy. A great throne of mercy. So I trust that this verse this morning, friends, will encourage us. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I trust that as you read the whole chapter this morning, and just look at those four exhortations of Hebrews chapter 4, that you will be blessed and encouraged today. So let us just bow briefly in a word of prayer again this morning. Our Father, we bow reverently before Thee at the start of a new day. And our Father, we thank Thee again for all that You mean to us and for all that You have done for us. And Father, we thank Thee for this lovely verse this morning. And we thank Thee for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, ever there for us at God's throne for us. So, Father, we thank Thee for our great high priest. We thank Thee for the throne of mercy. We thank Thee for the throne of grace this morning. And, Father, we pray that we, as Your dear people, will be often found at the throne of grace. So, Father, we thank Thee for a new day, for the light of a new day, for all Your blessings. And, Father, we commend ourselves to Thee again today and pray that You'll take us down through this day with praise and thanksgiving on our lips for all that You mean to us and for all that You have done for us. Father, bless, we pray, and undertake in the day and age that we live in. And Father, You know every one of us that's listening in this morning. And Father, we just pray that You'll meet everyone at the point of need, and that we will be encouraged to meet ever at the throne of grace, the mercy seat. So, Father, we give thanks again and look to Thee and commend ourselves to Thee again and give thanks again for it all this morning in the Saviour's honoured name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks.